Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Senior Synergies.
Welcome to Senior Synergies on Business Radio X, where we bring together the needs and the opportunities of seniors with the people, places, agencies, and events that serve those needs and provide those opportunities. I'm Tom Petcher, your host, and I'm being joined today by co-host Ann Revelle Petcher.
Hello.
Today in our inaugural broadcast, we are excited to welcome as guests two women who play extraordinary roles in support of the Cape Fear senior community. Gail Ginsburg, social worker at the New Hanover County Senior Resource Center on College and Shipyard here in Wilmington, and Holly Pilson, family caregiver resource specialist at the Cape Fear Area Agency on Aging. Gail and Holly, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi.
Thank you.
Let's start by stating the obvious. Southeastern North Carolina and the Cape Fear region in particular is without a doubt a retirement destination. Both of your agencies exist in some ways as a response to that demographic fact. Let's talk a little bit about the scope of what you do. I ran across, thanks to your help, a remarkable statistic. One in five North Carolina residents are caring for someone 60 years old, year old or older. One in five, 20%, fully 20% of our state population. Gail, the Resource Center is something of an icon here in the Wilmington area. Can you talk about the variety of service available through the Senior Resource Center?
Yes, definitely. The Senior Center is divided up into different departments. The first is programming, whereby we offer just about every type of programming from exercise to dance to art projects to monthly programs, like I'm bringing in a lawyer in March to speak to seniors about wills and trusts. And we do so much different programming that it's really a great variety. And we have a newsletter that seniors can tap into that will tell them all about it. Then we have the Retired Senior Volunteer Program, which is a program for seniors who would like to volunteer. We have 700 locations in New Hanover County in which they can do that. And then, of course, we have the Life Enrichment Services, of which I am part, that does home-delivered meals, transportation, congregate site meals, and, of course, family caregiving.
Great. And if you've not been over to the Senior Center, I want to tell you, you walk in there and the place just crackles with energy. It's quite amazing. The energy is coming from a lot of people with gray and white hair, in some cases no hair at all. But the palpable sense of energy is really remarkable.
Gail, let me interrupt that. Gail, tell me about the age of the kinds of people who are involved over there.
Okay. We have people that are involved from age, say, 55 up until, say, 90 and sometimes even 100. So it doesn't matter what age they are as long as they have the energy and the mental faculties to keep up with everybody and
gotcha.
Be there. We would love to have them.
Interesting. Cool.
Holly, the yes. Cape Fear Council on Aging, talk about some of the programs, the education opportunities you offer there.
Sure. We plan a lot of educations within our region. We have educations on persons caring for people with memory impairments. We partner with Alzheimer's North Carolina a lot for those. We've done lots. We've done Spring Forward for caregivers, talking about blooming where you're planted to give them skills to sustain them in caregiving for their loved ones. We teach them how to do personal care for their loved ones, legal aspects of caregiving, all the papers and information you need to have in order if you're caregiving. We do a lot on, what else do we do on? The how to care for people with memory impairment, how to approach them, how to communicate with persons with memory impairments. We do stress relief, relaxation. We really focus on teaching caregivers how to care for themselves while they're caring for their loved ones, because that's so important. Many times caregivers forget to take care of themselves because they're so focused on caring for their loved ones.
And so really, your programs run the gamut of anything that has to do with caregiving at all. Is that a fair statement?
Sure. Yes. And we try to tailor them to the population that we're serving. So we go into faith communities, into community organizations, we'll go into neighborhoods, anywhere to do caregiver educations, and we ask questions. You know, what would you like to know? What topics are you interested in? So that we're sure that we tailor those educations to the populations we're serving.
I was kind of tickled to see you run something called Caregiver College.
Yes, yes. We've been partnering with Millermont to have Caregiver College once a month. And it's been very successful. Actually, tonight we have Audrey Marshall speaking from our agency on long-term care. She's our local ombudsman. and it's from 6 to 7, so we feel like it's only an hour, so it's not too much time for a caregiver to have to take out of their day, which we know is so busy.
When you talk about caregivers, both of you, you're really, in many, many cases, talking about family members. Is that correct?
Yes,
that is correct.
Obviously, there are a lot of agencies out there that provide care by CNAs, caregivers, companions, and so forth. But actually, the preponderance of care that's being done right now, that's being provided, is usually typically provided by family caregivers. You had mentioned in your education programs, Holly, the whole business of trying to prepare them for what they'll be up against and to relieve them of the kind of stresses they run into. I'd love it if you could both talk about, in your experience, what kind of stresses you think are the ones that are primary for family caregivers, and so we can recognize them, number one, and number two, how to deal with them.
Okay, I'll take that first, Tally. Many of the families are what we call sandwich generations, in which they're still raising kids that are not out of high school yet, as well as caring for their parents who are infirmed. And a lot of those stresses involve money. You know, it's expensive to have to care for somebody. It could result in loss of income because you might not be able to go to work, so therefore your income goes down again. And many of them have to realize that they're not as able to keep up with their friends as they used to be because of the demands of caregiving. And that is one of the stresses that they face, is loss of the friendship. There are so many stresses. Energy lose lack of sleep, and so many others. Holly, why don't you take it from here?
We talk a lot about the social cost of elder care, and that includes overwhelming fatigue, anger, depression, anxiety. Guilt is a huge one. I know a lot of people have a lot of guilt for things they
don't
want to.
Yeah.
We say not to let people take you on a guilt trip, no matter where. Family conflict, because one person wants to care for mom one way and another family member might want to care another way.
Or I would imagine cases where one person is taking over the majority, if not all, of the responsibility for care.
Yes, that happens a lot. That happens very, very often. And then there's that family conflict of wondering why your other siblings or other family members are not helping also.
Can we talk about that just a little bit further? Because I think this is something that a lot of people really struggle with, especially when they're remote from their parents. And maybe one of the siblings is closer and the others are further away. So the others that are further away feel this outrageous guilt all the time. Like, it's just not fair that, you know, my brother has to be there all the time. And boy, if I was there, frankly, I would do better than he's doing it. And
I like a lot. I like to talk about something called the family contract, where, you know, just because you don't live near the people, that doesn't mean that you don't have to be involved in the care. And one of the ways to be involved in the care, I tell them, is by managing the funds. You know, you keep up with the bills, you pay the bills, you make sure that there's plenty of money in the account for the expenses incurred with caregiving. You can also be the shopper. If mom runs out of pajamas, you can go ahead and buy the pajamas. There are all kinds of ways that people living out of town can get involved with the care. So they're not really far away from it. They're still involved. I don't know.
So they're feeling connected to the situation, even if they can't be the one to go visit them once a week.
That's right.
And I think it's important to keep communication open, because I think if you keep everybody included on the decisions that are being made, even if it's via email or a blog or, you know, maybe a website, that you keep people updated. If the whole family is in on the decisions that are being made, they have buy-in and they're a part of that. So I think that's really important.
I bet that there's a lot more use of email and things like that than there used to be.
Well,
do you find that in your centers?
Yes, definitely. I get a lot of emails of people looking for answers to caregiving, a lot of them. And one of the things I wanted to say is, for those that are living out of state, not to try to be too judgmental, because they may fly in for a weekend, they may see mom, and on that particular weekend, mom may be 100% up to snuff, but as soon as they leave, she deteriorates again. So they think that it's coming from the person who's been the caregiver, that they just, you know, they don't see the realistic situation, and it's really the out-of-town individual that doesn't often see the realistic situation.
And mom sometimes thrives when her child she hasn't seen in a while comes home.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing how that happens. Going back to the social cost of family caregiving, we talk about loss of personal time. Gail had mentioned that. prolonged grief, because it's sometimes a long grieving process depending on what type of disease the loved one has. So you have to deal with the anticipatory grief along with knowing that you may lose your loved one eventually. But most family members describe their caregiving as positive things. They enjoy it. They enjoy taking care of their loved one.
Sure.
They feel honored to be able to do that. So I think sometimes we have to look at people actually do look at it as a positive thing, but it's nice that they can have the supports while they're doing it to make it a little easier.
Isn't it, in my experience anyway, I don't know if you would agree with this, it's remarkable in some ways how family caregiving has become just such a concept and a topic that's being talked about all the time now. I'd say a generation ago, nobody ever discussed this issue. I mean, I think it's fair to say. But over time, as the baby boom generation has aged, clearly it's become more and more of a focus. Gail, you had mentioned the sandwich generation, which has become a very, very popular phrase because it represents something that's going on in a lot of families. The Wilmington Star News, our daily newspaper, had an article on Sunday's paper, talking about the sandwich generation and the club sandwich generation. That being, the baby boomers are aging. Their parents are staying alive longer, quite frankly. And so you find someone in the sandwich club sandwich generation actually having a parent that caring for, maybe might have a son or a daughter who's moved back into the house because of economic circumstances, and then though their grandchildren are come along as well. So they're dealing with three separate generations. I would imagine the stress in a situation like that would be enormous. Have you run across that at all, or is this just beginning to kind of evolve because people are just living longer?
No, you know, it's not only that people are living longer, but today we have become, unfortunately, a divorced community where they move in with their parents and their children, and that creates the club generation. And also, medicine today is keeping people alive much longer than it used
exactly.
to. Our, you know, the medical technology and everything that we have is keeping people alive. And so there's so many factors to bring into the situation. And one of the things that I think is so sad is that we're no longer a village, that parents that need help have moved to Wilmington to, you know, because for the retirement world, you know, it's going to be so fun to be here, the golf courses, the ocean and everything. And then all of a sudden, a few years down the road, they get sick and they can't have that retirement life. And they don't have the children that are here to help them. And often they don't have the money to go out and purchase that kind of help that's required. So, you know, they don't have the resources of other people to turn back on and depend on. So it just makes things a whole lot harder today than it used to be.
Let's switch gears just a little tiny bit, but then I want to get into specifics of both of your agencies. Gail, you are representing the New Hanover County Senior Resource Center, which suggests to me, and I know the answer already, but basically you deal mostly exclusively with New Hanover County residents. Is that correct?
Well, yes, that is correct. But we don't, if somebody walks in from the Leland area or the Bergall area or wherever.
You don't turn your back?
No, nobody has ever turned away.
Great. And is your funding primarily coming from the County of New Hanover?
It's coming from the feds, the state, and the county.
So
it's a three-way, you know.
I would imagine a fairly complicated funding package as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of our funding from Holly.
Right. And Holly.
Hey, Holly.
Holly, you represent four counties.
We do. We cover Brunswick, Columbus, New Hanover, and Pender counties with the Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging.
And does your agency act, or does the Council of Governments act as sort of a conduit to gather funding from multiple sources, as Gail was describing?
The Council of Governments is really an umbrella agency that houses regional planning agencies, and it's mandated for the Area Agency on Aging to exist under the Cape Fear Council of Governments here. So it's mandated that we are there, and then we allocate the funds out to the four-county region to the lead agencies for aging service. And in New Hanover County, of course, it's the New Hanover County Senior Resource Center, which is a county agency. And then in Pender County, it's a not-for-profit, Pender Adult Services. And in Columbus County, it's a county agency again, County Department of Aging. And in Brunswick County, it's a not-for-profit, Brunswick Senior Resources. And then they do the programs like Gail described, home-delivered meals, congregate nutrition, senior centers, the in-home aid program. They do some case management. They do the SHIP program, the Seniors Health Insurance Information Program. Mm-hmm. So they do a lot of really great, and they're really the go-to for anyone, an older adult or caregiver in those counties.
Two specific programs, one from the Senior Resource Center and one from the Council on Aging that I have personal familiarity with. Gail, can you talk about the Caregiver Respite Program?
Yes. We have what's called as the Family Caregiver Respite Program. And that is for families that are caring for loved ones at least 4 to 6 hours a day. They have no other agency help. There can be no other government agency involved at the time that they have this respite grant. And they are in need. The person that they're caring for has to be at least 60 years old or older, and they have to be deficient in some adult living skill areas, like perhaps bathing, dressing, toileting, ambulation.
What we call activities of daily living.
Yes, ADLs. And or they have dementia, and many of them have all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true and they meet the qualifications, it's not based on what their income is. It's based on what the need is. And we will see these families, and if we can help them by bringing in a licensed home health care agency, we will. If they prefer to send their loved one out to a daycare center, we can also accommodate that. And we also have a really good family caregiver support group that goes along with that program to bring support to the caregivers. We do caregiver education like Holly does. We also do what's called our caring and sharing time that allows each caregiver to speak about the caregiving journey that they are on.
So if an individual is caring for a loved one and is the primary sole caregiver for that individual, you actually are able to walk in and provide good term respite, some time away from that obligation in order to get them out of the house, maybe go out with friends, have lunch or something, just to give a little bit of a chance to kind of be away from what is for many people a 24/7 responsibility.
That is correct.
Great program. Another one that I have personal familiarity with since I've been through it. Holly, if you could talk about the virtual dementia tour. I find this whole concept fascinating, and going through it was really a remarkable experience for me.
Sure. With Area Agency on Aging, we've always focused on making people a little more sensitive to aging issues so they can understand the things that happen as you age. Mm-hmm. So we've done a thing called a sensitivity kit. And then recently, we decided to start doing a virtual dementia tour, which we purchased from Second Wind's Dreams, which is, I think they're out of Atlanta. And it alters a lot of different things. You have gloves on that make it like you have neuropathy, so you can't feel your fingers very well. They put things in your shoes to make it feel like neuropathy also.
I remember that.
Yeah. They do sight. You have goggles on so that you can't see certain things. Macular degeneration is kind of what it does. And then they have earphones on that have staticky background radio noise. And all of these things are things that could happen to a person that might have memory impairment, or they might have all of those things going on at once. And then they ask you to do 5 different tasks. And it's amazing how much people can understand and be more sympathetic and empathetic with a person with memory impairment after going through this training, because they have a very hard time doing all of those tasks. It's, you know, maybe folding laundry or filling up a glass with water. But it's very hard to do when you have all those different distractions going on. So I think it lets people understand a little bit more what they're going through and to be a little more sensitive to them.
It was remarkably eye-opening, forgive the pun, for me to kind of go through that, because it really does sensitize you to what it could be like, to the point where it's a little bit frightening, because
Sure.
you imagine, my goodness, you know, what if this starts to come on? You know, you start to feel these things, and this is the world I'd be living in with dementia, Alzheimer's, or some version of those diseases.
And you can understand their frustration, too.
Absolutely. The frustration. Exactly. Yeah, right.
So frustrating.
How many people have gone through that process? Do you have any idea?
I bet we've had probably 150 just in this area.
That's
not
great.
More.
Yeah.
If not more.
If I have a chance, I'm going to kind of find out where that opportunity is and spread the word, because it's
a remarkable
experience.
We look for opportunities to do it, so anytime you'd like, we could do that.
Great. Super. Great.
Sure.
Do your two agencies collaborate?
We do a lot.
You do.
We work very closely with all of our area, all of our agencies in the counties.
You're probably the two people who are most familiar with other support groups for people who are aging. Could you talk a little bit about the ones you've run into that you really particularly like a lot?
I'll let Holly do most of the talking about this, but I do want to mention that we just started, Holly and I and Andrew Zeldin and
Kendall Creed.
Thank you. Kendall Creed just started an early stage support group, and it's for people that have been recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's and their caregivers.
Fabulous idea.
The caregivers meet in a separate room from those that have just been diagnosed. And we do caregiver education. But it affords those that have been diagnosed an opportunity to talk about what's happening with themselves, how they're relating to their caregivers, what their likes, wants, and aspirations are. And it's fabulous. It hasn't been going that long. We encourage those that may be out there that want to take advantage of such a support group to call either Holly or myself, and we will give them the details.
And at the end of the show, we'll go through your contact information.
Sure.
It's really a great, that is a great support group, and we're so excited about it. We will be changing the places where we meet, so people will need to contact, actually Andrew Zeldin's who they'll contact, but
okay.
I can give you his phone number. And I have a list of support groups on our website, which I'll also be giving to you. Maybe you could have it with the podcast. But there's quite a few support groups in our area. There's a frontal temporal lobe dementia support group.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few just plain caregiver support groups, which is neat. Because there's so many people, not all people are caring for persons with dementia. So we want to make sure that we have support groups for persons just caring for people in general.
Right.
Maybe a stroke, heart disease. When we did a survey across North Carolina, caregivers were mostly caring for people with heart disease, which surprised me. I thought it would be memory impairment.
Absolutely,
or stroke,
yeah. Right.
or something like that, but it was heart disease. So we want to make sure we have some for just plain caregivers. There's two in Brunswick County. There's one in Columbus County, which is our rural county. We're very excited about having one there. And there are quite a few support groups in New Hanover County, but we have a full list of all of those, and it's always available on our website.
Tom, I'd like to speak just briefly about one more. Many people that are caregivers, once they stop caring for somebody because they lose them in death, if they were caring for like a spouse, they become lost because they don't know what to do with the time on their hands. They've kind of estranged themselves from their friends and others. We have
their reason for being is no longer there,
right,
in some ways. Yeah.
We have started a widow and widowers support group, which is growing very fast and very popular. It's not like a type of grief counseling,
mm-hmm.
but it's more like, where do I go from here and how do I get there? And builds friendships and all kinds of things. So it's been a fabulous support group.
Yeah, Gail and Ann LaRue started that, and that's so exciting because caregivers, once their loved ones go, and they sometimes are, they don't know what to do with themselves. They've been caregiving for so long. And I like their
huge void, I would imagine,
yeah.
in many cases.
The motto of their support group is because life goes on and so must we. I think that's really neat.
That's great. Getting back to a point you made earlier, Gail, is there a typical response to a diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's, both on the part of the patient as well as the caregiver, or is it across the board?
Well, there is. I mean, it would be very frightening to find out that the one that you're caring for, the loved one, your mother, your parent, your spouse, be it whoever, was just diagnosed with dementia. And although they may seem with certain flaws the same person that they've always been, they know because they've heard that it's going to get much harder down the road and that there'll come a point where they won't even recognize them and other things will be associated with that growing dementia. So for the caregiver, it's frightening, but when you put them into a support group in which other caregivers are in there who have gone through it or are going through it, it's such a shot in the arm for them. It gives them encouragement. For the one that's diagnosed, they have to come to terms with the fact that they're changing and that they are going to change. We don't encourage them, if they still have most of their faculties, to attend the caregiver support group with the caregiver, because for some of them it would be so frightening to really hear what the end is like.
Is that right?
And,
yeah.
And so we try to put them into groups, like we just started, groups where they can be with each other that are just been diagnosed.
Just to reiterate for our listeners, if you have a chance, just stop by the Senior Center, because the energy that's there is remarkable. And the energy that's there, I think, is a result of the kind of work that you both do in the community. We're really so fortunate to have your agencies and others working on behalf of caregivers and the people that they're caring for as well. I want to wrap up, but I can't do that until I get some more contact information for both of you. If you could just, once again, say the names of your agency, your online contact information, as well as your phone numbers for our listeners.
Sure. Mine's Holly Pilson, and my phone number is 910-395-4553. I'm extension 204. My email is hpilson, and that's H-P-I-L-S-O-N, at capefearcog.org. And our website is www.capefearcog.org. And you can find the Area Agency on Aging information there, the support group list, and a resource guide for senior services on that website.
It's a pretty comprehensive website. It really is. Thanks.
And my information is Gail Ginsberg. My email address is G, and then G-I-N-S-B-E-R-G, at NHC for New Hanover County, G-O-V, so it's NHCGOV.com. My telephone number, which my direct line, is 798-6402, and I would be happy to answer anybody's questions at any time.
Great. My deep thanks to both of you, Holly Pilson and Gail Ginsberg, for joining us today on Senior Synergies. I look forward to working with you in the future. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks.
Thanks for joining us.